Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back on this Thursday episode to talk more about this fight. And we're really getting into the meat of the fight now, man.
This is definitely the choreography minute.
Yes, absolutely. It is. So we are, of course, talking about minutes 78 through 79. And this minute starts off with Lanville, again, looking confused as hell as the picadors, barbed men, are still circling around them.
Now, chittering.
Chittering and circling. And this is where we really get the first good looks at the picadors.
Yeah.
And if you thought they were creepy from a distance, they are even worse up close.
Well, you can't see their face at all.
You can't see their face at all. They've got like a black face covering underneath their like hammerhead hats, I guess.
Hooked helmet thing. Yeah.
Do you know what an Ulu knife is?
Are those the knives used by indigenous people for like breaking up whale blubber and stuff?
And we saw one.
The rounded knives with the like big handle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. We saw one in Prophecy, I believe.
Yep. Well, I mean, you know.
That would make sense to see one there. That is what these helmets look like to me.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to look up an Ulu knife, and that's just U-L-U, the ends are not as pointy on the knife. Like, the Picador's helmets is definitely much more of a stylized version of that.
Yeah.
But it has the same shape, and I wonder if there is any kind of through line from that, from the Harkonnen beginnings to this. I don't know, maybe I'm reaching.
I feel like that's probably a bit of a reach.
But it is a similarity.
Yeah.
So they're chittering, they're doing their whole weird picador thing. And I gotta say, man, their outfit is a little bit like, okay. So we talked about the helmets, we talked about the face coverings. They have shoulder pads that would make an 80s business suit jealous. Huge shoulder pads on these outfits.
Their outfits look like they're made out of leather too. And knowing that this was all filmed outside during a heat wave, I'm sure the insides of those outfits just smelled fantastic by the end of shooting.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. As all this is happening, Lanville is, I mean, he's doing his recentering. He's just in his like, you know, defensive stance.
Yeah. They're squaring up against each other again.
Yeah. And they circle each other for a few seconds, and Fade makes the first attack again here. And it looks like Lanville gets a little bit of a cut. Not a big one, but a little bit.
So Lanville's playing super defensively, you know, doing what he's been doing with blocking all the attacks. But Fade does land a slice of some kind on Lanville's gut.
Yeah.
Not enough to, you know, knock Lanville out of the fight, but they need to, you know, kind of reset from there. What I like, though, is that we immediately go to, you know, more traded blows and everything. And like in a moment of, you know, Lanville anticipating Fade's next attack, Fade gives him a wink and then just like fucking goes in with a leg sweep and just like completely, you know, knocks Lanville on his back. Lanville doesn't know, probably wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
But he responds quick enough because Fade then goes to, you know, double stab on the ground. Mm-hmm. And Lanville rolls out from underneath Fade, avoiding, you know, getting impaled on the ground at this point.
And when he gets back on his feet, he is clearly winded.
Yeah.
Fade does not seem to be, because he launches into another series of attacks where, I mean, Lanville's, you know, either dodging or blocking them, and he's doing really good defense work. But he's, again, on the defensive and walking backwards from this, and completely unprompted and unasked, one of these picadors swings his barbed stick.
Well, so it's not completely unprompted. Lanville's, you know, doing his blocking and everything, but it gets to the point where Lanville, you know, essentially has one of Fade's arms in his. So Lanville has one of Fade's arms holding a knife grabbed by the wrist.
Yeah.
So Fade, at least seemingly, doesn't have full control. And that's when the Picador, you know, swings his hook hard into Lanville's shoulder.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen from the pictures of these hooks in Art and Soul, they're not small hooks. They are They are very large, almost like talons.
Yeah.
And clearly it's enough to, you know, hurt like a son of a bitch because Lanville just goes, ah, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And funny enough, Fade is the one that is pissed off about all of this.
Oh, yeah. No, he's in it, man. He wants this to be a...
This is his kill.
Yeah, a full fight. He doesn't want help
from here. And he yells, you know, back, back.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the two fighters, you know, kind of reset.
Well, so the Picador releases the barb. It's still in his shoulder.
Yep.
But the tip of it is what gets removed.
And there's a little tassel.
Yeah, a little tassel. And it is very much like bullfighting at this point.
Yeah.
It is a strong, strong analogy, which I think is ironic given the Atreides bull.
Yep.
It's the symbology, John. It's the symbology.
The word you're looking for is symbolism. And I believe we make that joke every time we talk about symbolism.
That's fine.
Yeah. Boondock Saints. But resetting here. So, Fade's longer blade is gone at this point.
Yes.
It had been knocked out during the, you know, trading of blows.
The kerfuffle.
Fade's left hand holds his silver knife.
Mm-hmm.
And Lanville's left hand is holding Fade's wrist.
Yeah.
Lanville's right hand is holding his shitty knife,
mm-hmm.
which is... kind of looks like a big-ass unsharpened Bowie knife, basically.
Pretty much.
And Fade's got Lanville's right wrist in his right hand.
Yeah.
Left hand.
Left hand, yeah.
What, each of them has a knife in one hand, and the other hand is locking the opponent's knife hand.
Yeah.
So they're in, like, a weird stalemate kind of situation here. I did notice that Lanville's missing at least one tooth here.
Oh, yeah?
But Roger Yuan, in all of the photos that I could find of him, has all of his teeth. So either, like, that was just something they did for the movie, or, like, maybe he was missing a tooth and then got it backfilled since then, or whatever.
Or he could be, like, my brother's friend from college who was missing one of his front teeth, had a...
like a prosthetic?
A prosthetic tooth in there. And... when this guy, he had a job at Waffle House when he was in college, and he would take the prosthetic tooth out.
Hell yeah, dude.
When he'd go to work at Waffle House.
Yeah. Bro.
Carrollton, Georgia.
If I'm at a Waffle House and everyone has all their teeth, you know, I don't know about that one.
Shout out to Eck.
Shout out to Waffle House just in general. One day we'll release our Waffle House episode. But yeah, so they're locked in with each other. Lanville's missing his tooth, which, now that I think about it, Roger Yuan at some point probably just got it knocked out in some choreography, something or other.
That would make sense.
He's been doing this for a long time. But Fade has Lanville's knife near his stomach, but the blade is pointing outward.
Mm-hmm.
So Lanville doesn't have a play here, really.
Yeah.
But what Fade does... is knees the shit out of Lanville's hand,
yeah,
which causes him to, you know, drop the knife.
Yeah.
But it's a risky gamble because then at that point, Lanville's able to pull his hand back and get both hands on Fade's knife wrist. At which point, Lanville disarms Fade and steals Fade's knife.
Really cool. Super quick.
This is sequence. One that I'm going through and I'm tapping like the next frame button and going through like the entirety of all of this. And if you have the opportunity to do it, watch that segment like that, because you can see just how fast all of this is happening together.
And you have to imagine this is something they practiced over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Really, really awesome choreography.
As soon as Lanville disarms Fade, Fade goes in with a right hook, and Lanville, you know, just slaps that arm down and is able to, you know, take a step back with now the only knife in play.
Yeah. And again, this is what I was talking about, close quarters combat. The size advantages don't really matter all that much.
Well, we're about to see where Fade's size advantage comes into play.
When it starts to get into like, you know, brute strength, yes, it would start to matter again. But just quick motions, these deflecting blows and stuff like that, it seems to be pretty evenly matched.
Yeah. Because at this point, Fade cosplays a linebacker and just goes right in and tackles Lanville and like somersaults over Lanville's body when he's, you know, been pinned down to the ground.
Well, I think it was Lanville did that.
Or Lanville like pushes him up.
Well, so Fade goes in for the tackle, and then you saw Lanville kind of grab his midsection, and he almost does like a suplex move and throws him backwards. So he uses Fade's momentum against him to slam carry him.
Maybe.
Which is a good move.
I did see a goof in this sequence. So you can see like the tassel is still in Lanville's shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see the piece of like gaff tape or whatever that's just holding the tassel on Roger Yuan's shoulder.
It's a very quick sequence.
You're a psychopath if you're going through it frame by frame. But yeah, he flips Fade over, and then at this point Lanville is like holding the knife over Fade's face. And Fade can't do anything but just start laughing hysterically as he begins to like roll over and, you know, pull Lanville over with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the knife is just there inches away from Fade's face and he can't stop laughing.
Yeah.
And he, continues to tell his picadors to stay back, stay back. The crowd is chanting and the music is rising. And our minute ends with the biggest cliffhanger because Lanville just gives a lunge. But well, we don't
Fade
know
allows
happens.
Him to do that. So they're like in this headlock, almost like at the beginning of a wrestling match kind of pose. I'm talking like mat wrestling.
Yeah, like Greco-Roman wrestling. Not,
yeah, exactly. Not,
not
WWE.
WWE fucking John Cena. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, Hell in the Cell kind of thing. Yeah, not that. In 1996, The Undertaker, or whatever it was, I don't know. Tom Cage of Hell in a Cell. No, so they're like pressing against each other, and like their momentum is not pushing them either direction. Like no one's gaining a clear advantage like this. So what Fade does is he kind of steps back and allows the Lanville arm to extend forward, but he's to where he once was, and that's right where the minute is. Yeah. Right when the arm extends
such a cliffhanger for this minute.
It's it's almost a little tropey, that motion. Not say it's bad, it is very good, but there is a lot of things where, or a lot of like, you know, I'm drawing a blank, but where I have got this sword and the only way to get me closer to my opponent to kill me is to let the sword go through me.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I don't know. I don't remember where that's from.
We certainly won't see that ever again in this movie.
No, of course not.
No.
Is that from this movie that I'm thinking of?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Neat. Book-wise, there's just more banter. The disarming of Fade also happens in the books.
Mm-hmm.
And the Harkonnen soldier thinks he grabs his white blade, the one that he thinks is poisoned.
Yep.
And he's like all, you know, boasting about, he's like, Harkonnen, die by your own poison, yada, 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 yada. And he also gets barbed by one of the barbed men.
Yep.
But something that was really interesting, and I kind of wish they would have put this in the movie, would have been very quick, but really cool. So the barb catches the Harkonnen soldier in the upper arm instead of the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hanging down towards his elbow. And it's not just a tassel. It's like an actual piece of metal that's attached to the end of the barb.
Yeah.
One of Fade's attacks hits that and it uses it as like a piece of armor almost. And so he's like, ah, damn it.
<He's> like, dang it.
Yeah. He's like, I never would have thought this would have been an advantage for the person. But, shortly after that, this is where Fade uses the word. He shouts out scum.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes the Harkonnen soldier to...
Harkonnen?
Sorry, the Atreides soldiers. Thank you. To basically go limp or paralytic for a second.
Yeah.
And gives him the advantage that he will need to do all the things we're going to talk about in the next minute.
Alrighty. Damn these cliffhangers.
I know.
It's been a while since we've had a cliffhanger.
These are good ones, though. These are good cliffhangers.
Yeah. Well, for now, you're going to have to wait until tomorrow's episode comes out. You can, however, find the Dune Minute online at DuneMinute.com on Blue Sky, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. That way, we will be back to round this week out with a Friday episode very soon.
All right. One would even say tomorrow.
Maybe. Who knows?
All right. We'll see y'all then.
See ya.